Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Thank you so much. Well, this morning, many of you are already in a state of consternation and concern because there are no sermon notes for you to hold in your hand. And I have taken away your security blanket. You know, those of you who like to fill them out before the service sermon even begins, I know you're frustrated, but here's what I know. You will now be listening to me and paying attention to me instead of to your notes, and that's my whole plan for today. So thanks for putting up with me. I appreciate that. But everything will be on the screen, and I invite you to read as we read the word of the Lord today. Isaiah 21. This message came to me concerning Edom. Someone from Edom keeps calling to me, "Watchman, how much longer until morning? When will the night be over?" In the King James Version, it says, "Watchman, what of the night? What's going on?" In this version, when will it be morning? When will night be over?" And the watchman replies, "Morning is coming, but night will soon return." And then the next verse after that I want us to read today is Ezekiel 3. "After 7 days, the Lord gave me a message, and he said, 'Son of man, I've appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately.'" Watchmen were a real blessing in the cities that they belonged to. Most cities back in Old Testament times were walled fortresses, and on the tops of those walls, especially at night, because that's when the enemy tended to attack, were watchmen. And the watchman's job was to kind of keep an eye out and see if any kind of trouble of any kind was coming. And if it was, he was to warn the people. But the watchmen were almost like alarm clocks too, because back in those days, of course, they didn't have watches or alarm clocks or things like that. And as irritating as it seems like it would be to me, people would actually call out to the watchman at night. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're wondering what time it is, and they would call out, "Watchman, what of the night? What time is it? How much time until morning?" And so the watchman was kind of a connecting point between people through the night and let them know, because of his vantage point high on the wall, he could see if the sun was coming up over the horizon or not, and he could tell them, "Don't worry, it's still night, but morning is on its way." That was the job of a watchman. He was to warn people, but he was also to give them the good news that morning is coming. Because if the morning came, 9 times out of 10, it meant there wasn't going to be any destruction. We made it through one more night because most enemies attacked at night. And so the watchman would warn you, but he would also give you good news at the same time. As a watchman of Israel, Ezekiel, which we read in chapter 3, is to announce to those who are despairing in the middle of the night that God will preserve them and that morning is coming. That's their job. A watchman could see what others couldn't, and his job was to report it. Well, I want to tell you today that as believers, everyone who names the name of Jesus today is a watchman in a little bit different sort of a way, but yet in much the same way. And I'd like for us to take a look at that very quickly this morning. Number one, today's watchman, we are God's watchman. Number one, we're called. God has called everyone in this room who names the name of Jesus to be a watchman. Matthew 4:19, Jesus called out to them, being the disciples, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Jesus was using a metaphor that they would understand. Most of them were fishermen, and Jesus was saying, you've learned how to catch fish. Now I'm going to teach you. Can't nobody tell you how to talk, no ways. Every once in a while, you know, I spent 23 years in North Carolina and didn't grow up that way. But every once in a while, these little North Carolina things come and grab me. So just, you know, cut me a little slack when that happens, okay? The expression "fishers of men" really means to evangelize, to go and get people. Get them from what? Get them from living under the curse of the law and by the desires of their flesh that will only bring death and destruction to them. Anybody who engages in modern day what we would call evangelism, and evangelism is basically the evangel means good news. So it's someone who comes and brings good news to people, which, as we've already said, is a part of what a watchman does. All of us are called to do that work. Jesus called the disciples, and through them, he calls us to be fishers of men, someone who goes and grabs men out of the sea of life and brings them into the presence of the Lord. Jesus called those men who would become personal evangelists and preachers and apostles and teachers, and he commissioned them to speak on his behalf. Jesus took their humble occupation and transformed it into something special. I think that's significant because most of us in this room, including me, often feel fairly insignificant. Well, what am I? Who am I? I'm not Billy Graham. Heard a great story about Billy Graham the other day. Billy was done with one of his crusades, and limo pulled up to take him back to his home. And Billy said, he talked to the limo driver and said, "You know, I've never had a chance to drive something like that. Would you mind if I drive?" Limo driver said, "Well, okay," and put him in, and the limo driver got in the back, and Billy took off and didn't understand how fast a limo would go. And so a rookie police officer, his first ticket, is waiting on the roadside and clocks that thing speeding down the road, pulls in behind him, red lights on, has him stop, the window rolls down, and this rookie police officer just, when he sees who's behind the wheel. Well, knowing that sometimes they cut slack for celebrities, he gets on the radio with his supervisor and he says, "Isn't it true that sometimes we cut important people a little bit of slack?" "Well, yes," said the supervisor. "Who have you got?" He said, "Well, it's somebody important." And the supervisor said, well, who, like the president?" He said, "Oh, no, I think it's someone more important than that." "Well, who do you think it is?" He said, "Well, I think it must be Jesus because he's got Billy Graham as his chauffeur." Now, Billy is an example of a watchman. He gets up in front of thousands of people, but he'd do it just as much with you one-on-one to bring you the good news that, yes, darkness is here, night is here, but the morning can come if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, "Therefore go," Jesus said to the disciples as he was leaving them, "make disciples." In other words, teach them as pupils. "All the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you." Jesus said, "Go." When he said go, the word go doesn't translate as in, you know, I'm going over here. What it is it's a term of release. Okay, now therefore, get going. Go and teach all nations. Make disciples all over the place. That commission that he gave to the disciples is the command that he gives to you and me. But you can't make a disciple unless you've helped someone come to the point of accepting Christ as their Savior, the one they're going to discipline their lives to be like. Does that make sense? So the first thing that a watchman, a modern-day watchman, needs to do as we go and perform the Great Commission is we need to tell people of the love of Jesus Christ and bring them into that light. He said, go. Don't wait for them to come looking. And he said, make disciples. How many of you have ever been involved in an evangelism class or a personal evangelism explosion kind of thing or something like that? How many of you? Raise your hands. 3 of you? Wow, that would be a good class to have here. Apparently, none of you have done that. We spend so much time learning how to take people down Romans Road or the Four Spiritual Laws or Evangelism Explosion or something similar to that, and it was all a form that we followed. Jesus didn't say, go and follow a form. He said, go and make disciples. And each of us, when we understand the privilege and the responsibility that we have of literally snatching someone out of the gates of hell before they go, that ought to just really, really light your fire. And when you take a course like Evangelism Explosion or something else, you really get, boy, you're ready to go out and win the world. It reminds me of a story of a couple in a church, and they got it. You know, they'd taken the class, and they were ready to go out and win the world. And they decided that the first thing that they could do, first couple that they could win to Jesus was their neighbors. So they invited them over to dinner. Well, when the couple came over to dinner, you know, the host really wanted to impress them that we're really believers and we really love God and we really, you know, walk the walk in our family. And so as they sat down to the wonderfully prepared table, she turned to little Johnny and said, Johnny, would you say grace? And little Johnny just kind of froze up. He really didn't know what to say. And there was this awkward pause followed by a very reassuring smile from his mother who said, Johnny, just say what Daddy said at the breakfast table this morning. Johnny thought for a minute and obediently repeated, oh Lord, we've got those awful people coming over to dinner tonight. You have to have compassion and a love for people in order to really go out and effectively minister to people, but that's what we've been called to do. We're called to do it. What does a watchman tell people? The watchman told people that it was still night or that night was here. Do you need me to tell you that night is here? Do you need me to tell you that there's darkness all around us? As a watchman, I can tell you today, it's nighttime. It's dark, and it's getting darker. But the great news that we have today is we also have good news for those who will hear. Yeah, it's dark, it's night, and it's getting darker, but it can be morning for you if you'll turn your life over to Jesus Christ. That's the good news that the modern day watchman has. Matthew 3:23, John the Baptist was always telling people, repent of your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 4:17, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You catch that? You're in your darkness, but the kingdom of heaven is near. Morning is near. Repent and turn from your sin. Matthew 10:5-7. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Friends, that's what a watchman does. It's night, but the daylight is coming. It's dark, but the kingdom of heaven is near. The Apostle Paul understood that it is a serious calling when in 2 Corinthians 5, he said this. Take a listen to these words because this is the charge to you and me. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Read that over again. It's right up there on the screen. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. That's a pretty active, pretty strong verse, isn't it? But it's born out of a love for people. It's born out of good news because we understand the horrors of hell that await people, but the blessings of God that await people in this life and the promise of heaven that awaits in the next. And so we work hard to persuade other people. Skipping to verse 18. And all of this, speaking of God's grace and salvation, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal. God is making his appeal to a lost and dying world through us. We speak for Christ. We speak on behalf of Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Isn't that good news? It's dark outside, but it's bright. And it's morning for those who have experienced that in their life. And God is giving us the privilege, but also the task of calling people and letting them know that. The night continues. It grows darker, but for you, the light is about to break. Number two, we are accompanied. We don't just do this on our own. Matthew 28, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, or in King James, unto the end of the world. Now, the word with, I am with you always, translates into more of an accompanying. I'm with you, I'll go with you, wherever you go, to the end of the world or to the end of the age. The end doesn't just mean the four corners, but it means the completion. So I'm gonna go with you all the way to the end of the age, all the way to the end of time. I will be with you. We don't go alone. We don't speak alone. The Lord goes with us. The word world is the Greek word cosmos, and it's translated in five different ways. One means all the world means the universe created by God, you know, the design and orderly world that we see. It can mean the planet Earth. It can mean the total of humanity, everyone who is anywhere. It can mean the total existence of human life on this planet from beginning to end. And it can also mean the world as alienated from God, in rebellion against him and condemned for its godlessness. And that is the world into which God calls you and I to be his ambassadors, to be his watchmen, to warn the lost. Plug in any one of those words and you are accompanied everywhere and anywhere until the job is done and completed. You don't have to do it by yourself. God is there to help you by his Spirit. Number three, we're empowered. It's a common verse. You've heard it probably many times before in church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who here wouldn't like to experience the thrill, that firsthand thrill, the unsurpassable joy of leading someone to Christ? If you've never done it before, I want to tell you, as we used to say in the hippie days, it's a rush. Okay, some of you got it. Young people, you'll just bear with me. I don't know what the word is today. I'm not really hip, my children tell me. It's a wonderful feeling to be there when the Holy Spirit convicts somebody and they say, yes, I'm ready to accept Christ as my Savior. Friends, I want to tell you something. Most of us are afraid of giving a word for the Lord and even making an attempt at leading someone to Christ because we're afraid that we don't have the skills to do it. Would you say that's true of you, some of you? Any honest folks here? Most of us feel that way. We tend to think, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to say. The Bible makes it very, very clear to us, it's not about what you say. Because the truth of the matter is, no one in this room has the power, the skill, or the ability to lead somebody to Christ. Nobody does. Because the Bible tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that draws someone and opens their eyes and opens their mind and draws them and allows them to be saved. But he's given you the privilege as well as the responsibility to be a part of that process. So you could even mess up in the part that you think is yours, and the Holy Spirit will still draw and will still move. But I guarantee you, it will take much longer and may not even happen if you don't do your part. If God didn't need you and want you to be a part of it, people would just get saved all on their own. Bang, you know, oh, hey, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. But God has privileged us to be a part of it. We're empowered. We are partners with the Holy Spirit. But we also have to be ready to be used. What does that mean? Does it mean I have to memorize the four spiritual laws or Romans Road or I've got to be able to quote 10 Bible verses? No. What it does mean is you need to be as comfortable and as ready to share what Christ has done in your life with someone as you are to talk about the vacation you just took or the last ball game that you watched. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to be able to say, you know, before I met Christ, I was like this. And here's how I met Christ. And since I met Christ, my life is like this, and you can do that in 2 minutes. That's all you have to do is give a word. But friends, we are watchmen, and we are to warn people, and we hesitate to do that because we either feel we're not qualified, or we wouldn't know what to say, or what worse, what if I fail? Guys, you will never fail if you will share the good news. You will never fail if you warn someone about the life to come, because the Holy Spirit will walk in and pick up and give you what you don't have on your own and do the rest of the work. I want to encourage you today. I want to appoint you today. You are a watchman for a lost and dying world, and it's good news. It's good news. Number four, we are responsible and accountable to God. Ezekiel 3. This is probably, for me, one of the most humbling and motivating scriptures about evangelism in my life, and I hope that it says to you what it says to me. Ezekiel 3. After 7 days, the Lord gave me this message, and he said, Son of man, I have appointed you as watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. If I warn the wicked, through you, he means, saying, you are under the penalty of death, but you, Ezekiel, you, watchman, fail to warn them, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sin. But you will have saved yourself because you obeyed me. We have a responsibility to warn those who are headed for destruction. We have a responsibility to do it. But we also have a responsibility to warn those who say that they're believers or who have walked with God, but maybe now they're walking afar off. What do I mean by that? We'll go down to verse 20. If righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. And if you do not warn them, they will die in their sins. None of their righteous acts will be remembered, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn righteous people not to sin, and they listen to you and do not sin, they will live, and you will have saved yourself too. Now, are we living under the age of grace? Yes. Am I going to go to hell because I neglected to share the gospel with somebody? No. But do you understand out of the context of this verse the seriousness that God has when he places us as watchmen in people's lives? He's not just now begging us to do it. He's telling us, you need to do this. I'm expecting you to do this. You are accountable to me for every soul that I put in your place. Whether they receive me or not, that's up to them. But what happens in your life is directly related to your obedience to me. Goodness, I hate that word obedience, don't you? But that's what God has called us to do, to obey his commands. One of the things, by the way, that I really like, verse 20, if righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I've put in their path, and then he goes on to say that, isn't that amazing? God loves us so much that when we stray, he will put obstacles in our path, which many of us often ignore. Had a young lady come in for some counseling, and we got all the way through, and she said, you know, I'm wondering, do you think maybe it might be that the problems that I'm experiencing that we've talked about here are because I'm doing this sin in my life? Hello? Friends, God loves you so much, he will put obstacles in your path when you try to get away from him. If you're living for God, if you've given your heart to Christ, but you're drifting away, God will try. He will try to keep you. And if you miss those obstacles, God will send a watchman into your life to warn you. God holds us accountable for warning even believers. James 5, verse 19, is another one of my favorite, and it's a very humbling passage to me. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. How many of you ever wanted to rescue? How many of you think it would be a great thing to rescue somebody? Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, the kid's out playing ball in the street and you see the bus coming and you run out and you pick the kid up and whoosh, the bus just comes by. What a great feeling that is. That's the feeling that's available to you and I when we warn someone who has walked away from God, who doesn't see what we can see as watchmen up on the tower. We can see what's ahead for them and we can warn them and we can help them. And the Bible says in the New Testament, you'll save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. A watchman can see what others sometimes can't, and we need to keep each other in line. If I give you a kind and loving rebuke, you need to understand that as a watchman, not just as a pastor, but as your Christian brother, I owe you that. God's calling me to do that. You may not see what's going on in your life. Now, I'm not called to be judgmental, and I'm not called to be holier than thou. I'm to walk in humility and obedience myself. But I have this wonderful privilege to help you if you are beginning to stray in some way. You have a wonderful privilege and responsibility to help those who are sitting around you in exactly the same way. Friends, we are watchmen today. We're watchmen. And God wants us to warn people, not because he's angry and wants to light them on fire and send them to hell. No, far from that. God wants to save us. God wants to heal us. God wants us to walk in blessing. And he has appointed us as watchmen to watch over one another and as watchmen to call out to a very needy word. Anybody can fall. Anybody can have a problem. Any believer can get turned. Anybody can. And we need somebody, when we do that, to turn us back in the right direction. It reminds me of a story of a woman who pulled up to a red light in the car in front of her. Was a man on his cell phone, and he must have had a briefcase or his laptop over there because the lights, you know, and he's fooling around talking on the phone, and the light turns green. And she gave him a second or two, and he's clearly not paying any attention, so she begins tapping on the horn. And then pretty soon, he's not, you know, the light's still green, and she's still stuck behind him, and so she starts screaming and beating on the dashboard and honking the horn and flashing the lights and doing all those things. And just at the last moment, as the light is about to turn red, the man looks up and sees it's about to turn red and charges through the intersection, and she's stuck now. She missed the light all because of that guy. And she's angry, and she's beating on the dashboard, and she's cursing, and she's doing all of those things. And suddenly, she hears a knock on her window, a little tap. And she looks, and there's a police officer standing there. And he says, ma'am, would you please step out of the car? And he arrests her and takes her to jail. Well, a couple hours later, she's called back to the place where she was first processed, and the arresting officer is there, and he said, ma'am, I owe you a huge mistake, a huge apology. I made a mistake. He said, you know, when I pulled up And I saw you screaming and blowing your horn and yelling at that other guy and beating on the dashboard. And then he said, I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder. And I noticed the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker. And I noticed the chrome, the little Christian fish logo on your car. And he said, well, I'm sorry, but naturally I assumed you'd stolen the car. When we're out there behaving as we shouldn't, we need someone to bring us back to reality, friends. That's what a watchman does. We lovingly correct and help those who sometimes have veered off course. Number five, we have a deadline. There's a deadline. 2 Peter 3, speaking of people who scoff at the idea of Christ's return. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Right there is the message of a watchman. That's the message of a watchman. God will come. The earth will be destroyed. Sinners will be judged. It will be bad. But for those who choose to follow Christ, there's a wonderful new beginning that's going to be happening. But the day will come like a thief in the night. I remember back in the 60s, when the whole Jesus movement and all that stuff took place, and it was all born out of a renewed understanding that we were living in the end times, primarily because of the birth of the nation of Israel, and somebody one day got it. You know what? The Bible says this generation won't pass till I come again. Now, there's been some discussion as to what a generation means. You know, they used to say it means 20 years, and then they used to say it means 30 years, and it's been 40-some years since the 60s, hasn't it? I don't know what that verse means when it says a generation won't pass. I just know that the word of God is true. And a generation, even if it just means the last guy who was born in that year, a generation will not pass before Christ returns. Young people, you're in this place, you're probably like I was way back in the day. Or maybe you're not. Because I was worried that I'd never make it to my 20th birthday, let alone my 30th, because I just knew Jesus was coming back. And then I made it to my 20th birthday and my 30th birthday, and he didn't come back. And I raised my children, and I said, guys, you need to live like Jesus could come back today, because prophecy is being fulfilled all of the time, and a generation will not pass before I return. And my kids heard that decades and decades and decades, and I'm thankful to tell you that in their late 20s, both of my children are serving God, love God, living for him. But they are not convinced like I was back in that day that it could happen any day. Why? Because Jesus hasn't come back yet. We've been saying he's going to come back any day. We've been saying for decades, these are the end times. And they look at that and they say, well, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Let me tell you, the whole issue, the whole reason that I think that verse is in there is because this kind of a day would come. And they'd say, where is his coming? And he said, don't be deceived. I'm going to come like a thief in the night. That implies nobody knows when, and we need to be ready. Friends, there's a deadline. There's a deadline for your loved ones. There's a deadline for those who are at odds with God. We need to remember that. John 9:4. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us, because the night is coming when no one can work. We have a wonderful message and a wonderful window of opportunity to be watchmen and to tell people the night is coming. And it's a night you want to avoid. But the good news is, daylight can come. Morning can come to your life if you will but give your life to Christ. Night is here. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. It's good news. Number six, we won't always be received. There's no guarantee that people will listen to you. Warn them anyway. That's what Ezekiel was being told. Listen, don't worry about whether they listen to you or not. That's up to them. But I'm telling you, you need to warn them for your sake because of your responsibility toward me. But friends, you need to understand, they will not always receive you. Warn them anyway. 1 Peter 3. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry, be afraid of threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Remember what I told you? What I was like before Christ, how I found Christ, what my life is like now with Christ. Always be ready to explain it. Do it in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. And then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for being good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing what is wrong. You might not be received, but warn them anyway. Number 7, you will be rewarded. Now, the Bible doesn't have a specific reward. It doesn't say, and everyone who leads 10 people to Christ will receive a crown with, it doesn't say that. There's nothing specific for the soul winner. But there are always principles in the Bible. Remember the parable of the steward who God gave him one talent, and because he was faithful, God gave him more? Same sort of thing here. 1 Corinthians 3, consider this. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed to grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. If I stand up here and plow up the ground and plant the seed in someone's heart, they need to be saved. And at the end of, and they're sitting next to you, and at the end of the service, they turn to you and say, "Can you help me pray my way to Jesus Christ?" Guess what? You receive the same reward that I do. Whether you plant the seed, whether you water the seed, or whether you're there to catch the fruit when it falls off the tree, which is always a fun thing to do, but we don't always get to do that part. We do our part, and God rewards us. There's a reward for doing what we've been required to do. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. If you've got the guts to share with your friends and loved ones that you're a follower of Christ and what he's done in your life, Jesus says he will acknowledge us. So what about the night? Will the morning come soon? Friends, this would be a great place for an end time sermon because darkness is here and it's growing darker. And I want to warn you this morning, you don't have forever to respond and to get yourself out of the darkness. But here's the good news. You can do it right now. You can do it right now. As a watchman, you're a watchman when you're a parent. You watch over your children and you warn them of danger. Don't step out in the street. Don't touch the hot stove. You're a watchman when you are a pastor or a Sunday school leader or a small group leader or a support group leader or members of an accountability group who hold one another accountable. We're all watchmen. We're all watchmen. God has called us to watch over people. We're brothers and sisters in Christ who care enough and love enough to risk a relationship and warn the unruly. And I love you and care about you enough today to warn you whether you like me for it or not. Whether you accept it or not, accept Christ as your Savior. Turn, repent, turn, and live for Jesus today, because for you, the night is coming.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.